time, I would like to turn the meeting over to Lynn.
Hi, my name's Lynn, and I'm an addict. And anyhow, we all have different perspectives. I'm nervous. He says it's the devil in me. I think it's God in me making sure that I don't have time to bullshit and I tell the truth. And I've been thinking about what I was going to say tonight, and it's all out the window. So the topic is we do recover. And, you know, last night when they opened up and they put that banner with the for this convention, when they put the spotlight on that, and I got this feeling inside my gut, I just can't tell you how grateful I am that after all these years that I've been clean, on May 3rd, I will have 21 years. And the feeling that I got when that banner came up was as if I was new, and that joy and that excitement and all. And to still have that, you know, and to go through things and get there again, because I haven't always had that, and it's elusive, and it comes and goes. But that's one reason why I keep coming back. And when I think about sharing a little bit with you today, I think it's real important that you understand where I came from, because it's real important for me to remember that. Because I didn't get here because things were going well. And I didn't get here young because I was a light case. I used hard and heavy as long as I used. But the truth was is I never was right. You know, I was... So when I came here, it wasn't just about not using and learning not to use. But no one had ever taught me how to live. So I had to learn how to live. I had people to try, but there was a lot of things interfering with that all along. And I don't want to say much about what it was like before I got here, except to say that I grew up in foster homes. I was in reform school by the time I was 12. I was abused every which way. By the time I was 12, I was grateful to be alive, because I was beat senseless so many times when I was little that I never knew whether I was going to wake up alive the next day. I never knew when going to bed at night what was going to happen in the middle of the night. So when I came here, I was real grateful. I was really grateful. And the other thing was is that using wasn't all bad, because if it was, I wouldn't have started. And it made me feel sane, because I didn't know what to do with all those feelings. It was like no matter what I had, no matter what I thought about myself, no matter what I accomplished, I just never felt like I was worth anything. And if recovery has given me anything, it's given me that sense of worth and that sense of being okay. And it took me a long time to get that. And I had to keep coming back, and I had to keep working the steps and doing what I was told to do, which I'm not good at doing. You know, and it's not just because I'm an addict. I'm a nurse, and let me tell you, nobody likes to do what we tell them to do. You know, I don't care what the disease is. No one's compliant. You know, this is not the only disease of denial. And it's not the only disease of non-compliance. The thing is, if I don't comply, I die. If I don't comply, I am going to live so much misery. And I already had enough misery in my life. I grew up with a lot of misery, and I don't need it now. And that's what I remember, and that's what I think about when I think I don't need these rooms anymore, or when I think I got to go to another meeting and listen to another whatever, hearing the same thing. I can tell you that every meeting I go to, I get something out of. There's something that's said. If it's nothing other than patience and tolerance to sit through a meeting and know that that's just as important. Because you know what? When I was, before I came here, I want what I wanted when I wanted it. And when I didn't get it, I was a big baby. You know, I remember my mom saying, you know, why do you get so upset when you don't get what you want? I didn't know that you couldn't. I didn't know that I could learn not to get upset, to not have what I wanted when I wanted it. And when I went to get help, I remember very clearly what I said. I said I wanted to learn to live life on life's terms, not on Lynn's terms, and not on what I thought life was supposed to be about, because I finally realized that I was pretty clueless. I knew that I had, you know, on paper I had to accomplish things. I'd made it through foster care, I'd made it through this, I'd gone to nursing school, and I had an RN after my name. And the other thing was is that that's all I knew who I was, is I was a nurse. And that inside that nurse was an empty shell. And I knew that I was the way I was running, I was going to get busted, and I was going to lose it. Because back then, there were no rehab committees for nurses, you know, and there were no suspensions. You know, if you were an addict and you were a nurse 20-some years ago, they just took your license and kissed you goodbye. And I know in my heart of hearts that I would have kissed myself goodbye at that point. So when I got here, it was not to save anything except those two initials after my name, RN. That was it. Because I didn't care enough about myself to save me. I just knew that I needed that job, that I needed that whatever I was. And I also knew that I was hurting other people. I couldn't see so much what I was doing to myself. And the longer I stayed clean, oh, the other thing I thought was, you know, there was a bunch of old farts all over the place. So I thought, well, I'm really young to be in here. And I just wasn't as sick as everybody else. And after all, you know, I knew well enough to come in here and get well before, you know, all these other people did. And I had to get well to realize how sick I was. I had to stay away from the drugs, stay away from the people that kept me using the drugs in order to see how sick I was. I had to see how my feelings would come up, and I didn't have anything else to do except get to a meeting in order to get some any kind of feeling and get recentered. And I also began to see how badly I felt about myself, because I certainly was one of those people that tried to use my exterior whatevers, you know, the things that I had, who I was, to be okay. And I didn't know how to trust. I didn't know how to let anybody in. And I didn't know how to tell people, because I was the caregiver, so I didn't know how to tell people I needed to be taken care of. Please help me. You know, please let me cry. Please hold me while I'm crying and hurting. And I got clean in Wisconsin. And it was very, very cold back then in Wisconsin. And I didn't really have that much when I got clean. I lost my car, so I got a job a block from my job. I mean, I got an apartment a block from my work to make sure I could get to work. And I'd walk to meetings. In the summer, I'd ride my bike to meetings. Well, if you know anything about Wisconsin, especially during the late 70s, when the snow that started in the beginning was there in the spring, okay? And walking the meetings when you got this much snow around is quite an accomplishment. And I wouldn't ask for a ride. I would not ask for a ride. So people began to do their tours of getting to the meeting where they knew I'd be walking. And I'd be going along, and all of a sudden the door would fly open, and they'd say, get in. Groceries. I go to the grocery store on my bicycle and try to strap 3 bags of groceries on the back of a 10-speed. I'm on a 4-lane highway making a U-turn, and there goes all my groceries. I didn't know how to ask for help, you know. And then as I began to do the work, you know, I do my 4th and 5th. But for the 6th and 7th, when I started looking at my shortcomings, I thought, well, God got me clean. I got to do the rest of it. And I really didn't know how to let go of that stuff. It took me years to learn to let go, to really begin to let go and be okay with me, because that's what it was. I don't think any of the shortcomings or defects that I came into these rooms with have left me, not one of them. But the way I deal with them is real different today. A lot of it's just who I am. You know, I used to think when I got well, I was going to, you know, spontaneously combust and go to heaven or something. Because I kept hearing that it's progress, not perfection. But I was constantly trying to make myself something other than what I was. And then as I realized that I've always been off-center, I'm not like other people, and I am who I am, and began to embrace that and work with myself with what I had, instead of looking at this person or that person and thinking that's what I should be. You know, whether it was a nurse administrator or whether it was someone in recovery who had the 2-car garage and the husband and the kids. You know, that wasn't my recovery. But I didn't know how else to find my recovery in terms of that. And if I were to have planned my recovery back then, it wouldn't look anything like it was today. And I can say that today it's much better than I ever planned it to be. After I was clean for a little while, I decided it was time to get married, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. So I got married. I was telling somebody, we made big plans to get married. We got married 10 days after we decided. To this day, I do not remember what that date was. It's on my divorce decree somewhere in my house. And so we decided that we should move back to Maryland, where I was from. He was from Wisconsin. It lasted about another year and a half, 2 years. It lasted 3 years. You know, today I know that he was clinically depressed. I didn't know what to do for him, and I didn't know what to do for myself. I ran the meetings all the time. I tried to find somebody that could help us. I didn't get any of that met, but I stayed clean. And the other thing that I knew and that I was taught is that I had to do whatever I had to do to stay clean, and I had to leave that man. And that was a lot of pain. And that was probably the first time in my recovery that I really knew pain. And the pain that I felt, all I can say is it was a big black hole. It was a huge black hole. And it was a hole that I didn't know if I could get out of. But a funny thing started happening. I was never a daily meeting person. And it was funny. My car started going to meetings on the way to the grocery store. And I wouldn't get to the grocery store. I lost like 20 pounds. I wouldn't get to the grocery store, but I'd get to a meeting. And all of a sudden, I realized like 6 months had come by. I was 4 years clean, and I'd been to a meeting every single day. And all of a sudden, I also knew that there was something different about me than when I went into that black hole. And that when I came out of that black hole, for me, my black holes and my downtimes are my old behavior starts coming out. I start feeling like I don't have any time. I feel like, what's wrong with me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what I found was that when I came out of that black hole, I had gone to a different level. And that level included a little bit more faith, you know, not only in a God of my understanding, but in the process that happens in these rooms. I also began to develop a track record of myself, knowing that I had developed tools and that I did have the abilities to do certain things. And I was able to stay clean through that. I began to think I could stay clean through anything. And up until that point, I didn't know that. Another thing I'd like to say is that as long as I've been clean, I know that I can use again. It doesn't occur to me that I can't use again. In December, I had surgery, and I had major abdominal surgery. And I told my doctor, now you're going to say I was crazy, and I was, not to give me narcotics. And I'm in the recovery room, and the nurse is like, this is ridiculous. This is blah, 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 blah. I didn't get any narcotics after anesthesia. And I survived it. I don't know what would happen to me with exposure. I've been exposed after surgery before, and I knew what happened to me then. And that was that I could feel my little dopamine on my shoulder re-triggered. And my biggest fear in recovery is to have that re-triggered. Because I never, ever used anything without using it till it was gone. And I really didn't care what it was. I used it and I used it till I used it up. And I know that feeling, that bottomless pit that could never fill up. And today, most of the time, that pit isn't there. It's full. And I don't want to get myself into the position to have to re-trigger that pit again and to have to get those cravings going. Looking back on that, you know, I remember going into it thinking, you're crazy. You're crazy. And coming out of it, I'm really grateful that I did it. And I didn't regret it the entire time. Because one of the things the program has taught me, and one of the things that I've learned, is that no pain, no gain. And that means on a physical level, on an emotional level, or whatever. there are also better medications today. So it wasn't like I was in total pain. I certainly would have got a lot more relief if I'd used something else, but I did get relief. So it's not like I laid there with no relief. I did get relief. So it becomes for me, am I in this for the short run or the long run? And my brain doesn't care whether what goes into my body came out of a roach lab from New Jersey, a poppy field from China, or a Jack Daniel bottle. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if I need it because I'm in pain or because I'm having anxiety. And anxiety, I've known that. Panic attacks and everything. And the thing that these things have done for me is made me turn to people. It's made me turn to my network. It's made me have to go seek professional help. If you're crazy, you need to go see someone who takes care of people who are crazy. And I was crazy. I was stark, raving crazy the first 10 years I was here. I was suicidal when I was 10 years clean, and I didn't know what was wrong with me because I thought I was supposed to be somewhere else that I wasn't. And I began at that point to do a lot of changing and growing. And I went and got some professional help. But I also stayed close to these rooms and to the people in these rooms. And I would say that the last 10 years have been much greater growth than the first 10 years. And I began to feel good about myself. And I began to not just look at the external things I gained in recovery, but began to see the fruits of my being able to hang in there and work through things and be able to enjoy life on life's terms. I'm kind of nervous today because what I know about myself today is that I still have a lot of defects. I still have a lot of times when I let that side of me come out. I have an explosive side of me, and I don't always handle it real well, and other times I do. But I also know that there's another side of me that was all people used to see in me. And today, there's another side of me that I like much better and that people see. And over the last 10 years, I've been able to begin to let go and have compassion for other people in a way that I wasn't able to before that because I didn't care enough about myself. And I began to be able to let people in and really begin to care about other people, places, and things other than always keeping myself on guard, always wondering what somebody wanted from me, and always wondering what I was going to get from somebody else. You know, there was a lot of conditions, and I didn't just learn that when I was using. I learned that by the way I was brought up, because I was brought up by people who were affected by this disease. So that lack of trust and not being able to let people in or always questioning people's motives was something that I'd always had, and I didn't like. And then I would let people in and I get hurt. And today I learned it's okay to get hurt, because if I don't let people in and get hurt, I also won't let people in and get well. And I won't be able to feel the finer things, you know, like being here with a bunch of other addicts and knowing that there is hope and that there is recovery, and that today I'm doing a lot of things that I never thought possible. When I came in, one of my primary goals was to get a degree. So I went back to school, and I had a diploma. I wanted to get a bachelor's degree in nursing. And I kept going to school, and I kept quitting. And I quit school 3 times. And I didn't graduate from college until I was 12 years clean. But I graduated, and I kept going back. And I kept trying over and over again. And yet, every time I quit, it was because it was either too stressful or I needed to take care of something in my life, and I knew that I couldn't do both. And both was I couldn't necessarily work my program and stay clean and go to school, and I'd have to back off. And I've also learned that eventually I can get where I'm going if I just keep doing it, and I keep trying and I keep picking myself back up. Then after I graduated, I wanted to go back to school again. And I kept working on that, and I didn't get anywhere. You know, I went back. I started to apply to acupuncture school. I was going to be an acupuncturist. Well, that just wasn't, it didn't work out, okay? And I'm glad today it didn't, you know? And I can look at each thing as I do it and think, you know, things happen for a reason. I really believe that. And everything that happens to me, good or bad, I know that eventually more will be revealed, and I'll understand that. So then I went back to this program, and I was halfway through the first class, and I dropped out. Well, then about 6 months ago, no, it's been almost a year ago now. About a year ago now, I sort of started fantasizing in my mind what I wanted to do, and there was no such thing. There was not the program that I wanted, and I started talking to a friend of mine about how I could get this. And so I decided that my plan would be to go back and take a couple courses in college that would refresh me, and then I'd apply to graduate school, and somehow, you know, it would happen. Well, on August, in the beginning of August, my girlfriend comes in and she says, by the way, University of Maryland just got a grant to do exactly the degree you want. And I'm like, okay. Then she comes in a week later and she goes, go home and look in this certain magazine and there's a number to call. So I call and I leave a message on this phone at 10 o'clock at night. The next day I get a phone call back, and this is now around the middle of August, almost into September. And on September 4th I started this graduate program that never existed, that I didn't even know anybody else wanted to combine. It's a combination degree. And I'm in it. And then all this stuff starts happening. And I get just as crazy when good things happen as when bad things happen. Okay? So I'm going along trying to do graduate school and doing a job that had a lot of responsibility. And then I all of a sudden in the middle of this have to have surgery. You know, and it's like, okay, now what? Well, after the surgery, I was sitting back and I realized that I could not continue to do what I was doing, go to school and do all this. And so I made a decision. I turned it over and I just said, you know, I'm going to have to make a decision by February. Because that's another thing I found in recovery. I stay in denial about a lot of things. And one way that helps me is that when I'm setting up how long I'm going to tolerate something, I always set a date. You know, like, I'll tolerate this for this long. If it hasn't changed, then I need to do something. Because what happens is that date comes, and then I said, oh, I made this commitment, and I better do something now. So anyway, about 5 hours after I decided that I had to quit the job, somebody asked me if I wanted this other job in the same company where I wanted to work, doing something, changing my hours and everything perfect so I could continue in my degree. And so that worked out. The other thing that worked out is that there, you know, where do you get a few thousand dollars suddenly? And my boss came up with the money for me to go to school. So this time I know that I feel like my heart's in the right place and I'm doing the right thing and it's all working out. And I remember when it all started, I got really dizzy and I started calling my network and they're like, it's okay, Lynn. It's okay that good things still happen. And I also kept thinking, you know, I'd gone onto this plateau because I get into, is this all there is? And I also still get into that mindset that I'm in control and that if bad things happen, I'm responsible. But if good things happen, it's God, okay? And that's a control thing, too, however you look at it. And the truth is, I'm not in charge either way. I'm not in charge. All I know is that I have to do the next right thing. And I don't always know what that is. So when I don't know what it is, I just stay on that let's not make a decision right now mode. And that, for me, is also a decision. And then eventually things work out. And so my timetable was not to be 44 years old back in school again. 44, you know, I'm supposed to be starting to cruise now. But the other thing this program taught me is that there's no cruising. You know, that if I cruise for too long, then I get complacent. And then either things start happening and I have to repair things. Like, you know, like I cruised back a few years ago with the IRS. Okay. So I had to spend 2 years uncruising with the IRS. Now, I don't regret that because it taught me a lesson. And also, the other thing I know is I'm responsible. So if I mess things up, I'm also willing to do the work necessary. I had to work extra. You know, I had to look at what I was doing, and I had to take care of that. And I'm also trying to be honest. You know, I know that regardless of time, that I still do things, I still think ways, and I still have compulsive things that I do. And if I don't talk about them, that my secrets are going to get me. I heard someone say a couple weeks ago, you know it's addiction. He said, somebody was asking this guy how he defined addiction. And he said, if you can't talk about everything you did in relationship to that and be totally honest, and if you're going to regret it 24 hours later, then maybe it's a problem. And that is really helpful for me to remember, because one of the things I try to do is be honest. And it doesn't mean I have to go into rooms and tell everything. That's why I have a network, that's why I have a phone, and that's why I have close friends that I can trust, because I know when it's appropriate and not appropriate to put it in front of a group. And I need to be able to talk about anything and everything. And if I'm not staying honest, then it starts to wear away at that now pretty much filled hole that used to be in my gut. And I can say today that I'm really, really grateful. I don't know, you know, where my life is going. I know that it's certainly, you know, I have it planned, by the way. I do need you to know that it's still planned. I have the next 10 years planned. And I know that 10 years from now I'll look back and that those plans won't be what happened. And today that's okay. It's like the house I live in. I never planned on buying it. And then one day my landlord called up and said, you either buy it or I'm putting it on the market. You know, well, I had three stories of junk and I didn't know where I was going to put it. So I bought the house. And I had the means to do it, and I had to do it at that point, you know. And I remember thinking, this wasn't in my plans, because the house meant responsibility, it meant stability, something I'd never had. And today I've been in that house for 13 years. Oh, and when I bought it, it was only going to be for a couple of years. And today, you know, I have a home, and today I have grounding. And the other thing, before I end, is that I did... When I came into the rooms, I had a family that had been my last foster family. And today I have their name instead of the people that turned their backs on me and that abused me. And today I have a relationship with them. You know, and my father passed away 3 years ago. And I don't know how I could have gotten through that if I didn't always have a place to go. You know, and sometimes all I could do is sit in the rooms and be numb. You know, and people would come up and give me a hug, and that's what I needed at that time. There wasn't anything anybody could say or do that was going to make my pain go away. But somehow sitting in a room full of other addicts, it would help a lot. And then I could go home and I could sleep. And today, my relationship with my mom, she can pluck my last nerve. And today, you know, I don't let her. Because it's not worth it. You know, she's getting old, and all I say to myself is it worth it? You know, and it's not ever worth it. Because I'm really grateful that I have received many, many chances in my life. You know, and God gave me this family. And one of the reasons I got clean was to keep this family, and I still do have them today. And I have a brother and sister from that family who I love a lot also. And my time's up, and I stayed nervous the whole time today. And I hope that each one of you understand that I do the same things today that I did almost 21 years ago to stay clean. I pray, I go to meetings, I talk to my network, and I don't use. And that's the most important thing. And I don't ever think I can use safely if I do use. And I know I can use again, but I don't know if I can ever get back here. So I don't ever want to have to leave. So thank you very much for listening to me.
At this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Rick.
I'm an addict named Rick. And it's funny how I'm so nervous now I got to go to the bathroom. But and I was just in a meeting, and the person was talking about their mind going blank. And much as I like to talk about recovery, my mind is blank. But I know I got to do what I got to do. And I share my experience, strength, and hope. I got here like everybody else. I used too much. I used everything. I didn't think I could really... I couldn't foresee me getting clean when I got clean. I tried a lot of things to stop using. You know, I did a lot of things to try to keep out, you know, like material things, the cars, the place to live, the job, and to make myself think I was doing all right. But I didn't think I needed help because I had friends that told me, you know, as long as I kept the job and things, I was doing all right. But I felt miserable, you know. I hated the way I feel. I got tired. I used to sit in the window and cry and wonder what was wrong with me. You know, would I ever get better? You know, did the God that I know, you know, really care about me? And he intervened in my life in July 1987. And a guy at my job told me, you know, they got tired of me coming to work late and nodding on the job. So they told me to go ahead home for the day. We're going to make a decision about what we're going to do with you, you know, and I know, you know, I used to lie a lot. I lied all the time, you know, and I just came out and said, look, y'all can go ahead and fire me, but I got a problem, and I got to do something about it. And I proceeded to go and get some help for myself. You know, I consider myself real intelligent things, so I said, well, I'm going to go in here for 7 days and then go the treatment. And I did that. I was one that 3 days in the detox, I recited all 12 steps and said, I got this thing. And that's why today, when I've been up at meetings, I don't participate when they say group participation, reading how it works. Because I thought I really had it, and I did. You know, recovery has done a great deal for me because I came here very angry. You know, I came in here very angry, very self-centered, very self-reliant. I didn't need no help. You know, people slept around fire barrels and then was homeless. I couldn't identify. So I said they was worse off they need to be anyway. You know, and I just, you know, I was young. I'm 34 now, I'll be 35 in 2 more months. I would think I was young when I got here, so I did what they told me to do. I didn't want to because I was real arrogant. I didn't had a problem with a sponsor telling me what to do, you know, because I had an ego and an image, you know. And but how was I going to recover from the mental and emotional abuse that I sent myself through, you know? They told me to go to meetings, you know, and things like that. I didn't like going to meetings, you know, a lot because I thought everybody was telling a bunch of stories. They was lying and exaggerating. But I did the same thing, you know. And I noticed that the longer I stayed clean, the shorter my story got. Because once I started doing step work, I eliminated a lot of garbage, you know, the stuff I thought I was, I really wasn't. So I made my story shorter, you know, and my sponsor, I had a sponsor that I didn't like, and I picked him because he dressed slick, and I thought that's what I needed, but I ended up with a sponsor who, you know, I looked at and said, nah, you know, because it was about attraction to me, but that sponsor had working knowledge of the principles. And he was able to teach me how to recover from a lot of things I needed to recover from. Because I came in thinking that I could do it how I want to do it, as long as I didn't use. You know, I used everything outside of myself when I first got here. You know, shopping, sex, you know, different cars, trying to make myself feel good, but I didn't. You know, I used to think I had a problem because I never could be in a monogamous relationship. And I asked my sponsor, I said, what's wrong with me? I had a female sponsor too, so she had me do a four step on her religion, who they were, what happened, how they ended, and why. I had the same pattern through all the women I've been with. Something was wrong with me. You know, on the flip side, I was had low self-esteem. I had a lot of things that I degraded myself in, and I used that to try to build myself up with the ego image and make me think I was something. You know, I didn't like myself because I was short. I always wanted to be tall. You know, and I had to always try to compete and beat everybody out in anything because of that complex I had. But I was through acceptance. Acceptance is very, very important to me because in order for me to grow, I had to start accepting a lot of things about myself that I didn't like. And I must say that today, I really do love myself. You know, July, it'll be 11 years for me, and I'm really satisfied with the man that I am today. And I got a lot to improve on because I still take myself through a lot of necessary changes by allowing things outside of me to bother me. Because, you know, I believe don't nobody bother me but me. Anything outside of myself that gets me upset, I have to look at why. You know, the emotional stuff I took myself through the first couple of years, you know, marriage, divorce, you know, because I think I can fix everything the way I want it. I'm not one to like following suggestions. I'm not. Because a lot of times I'm not open, you know, because I really am I was a very self-centered person when I got here. I thought it had to be my way or nobody way. And through a lot of humiliating experiences and God humbling me, I had to give up a lot of things because it became too painful for me to continue to try to run my life. You know, I thought I had power. But the only power I have, if I go ahead and give my life to God, which I did, and that's where I gained power from, to go on and been able to make some decisions in my life that was that was based and lined up with His will. Because, you know, I like pleasure. I like fun. I like things how I want it. If I could set my life up right now and my recovery, it'll be how I want it to be. I don't like pain. I don't believe that pain is a motivator for me. I don't like pain. I'm sorry, a lot of people that say, well, pain, I don't like it. I went through a lot of pain in the street. You know, waking up in the morning, doing things. I can't comprehend that. I really can't. Because I don't like being hurt. I don't like hurting people. And that's where I am today in my recovery is, I want to treat people how I want to be treated. I want to love people the way I want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I try to do. These principles, you know, because I've done a lot of things when I was out there. And a lot of people, you know, would say that, you know, I'm perceived different. You know, a lot of people look at me different, but I'm a lovable guy. And I can honestly say that today. But at the same time, I have this part of me that, man, these principles that made me kind of soft. You know what I'm saying? You're a man, you can relate to him. We got to be macho, and, you know, I was told not to cry. I remember one time I fell playing basketball, broke my hand, my neck in the spring, bust my head. My brother telling me to get up, and I got up. He told me, you're a soldier, get up. And I'm hurt. My body said, lay back down, and you hurt. You know what I'm saying? Arm broke, and neck in the brace, but I'm not, I don't have to be like that anymore. I cry today. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no problem expressing how I really feel. When you hurt me, I'm going to tell you hurt me. When you disrespect me, I don't have no problem telling you I feel disrespected. You know, and that's what I like today, is the freedom I have emotionally to be able to tell somebody where I'm really at and how I really feel. Because, see, for so long I had that mask on that I was tough. You know, I don't cry. If you do me, I'm going to get you first. You know what I'm saying? But, and it's not about that. Nothing godly about doing things like that. And I've been going through a storm the last couple of months. But he bring me through it. You know, and he's going to bring me through it. And long as I trust in him, my high power, I'm going to be all right. See, if I start, I want to do, because I like doing things. I want to fix things. I really do want to fix things. I want to change you and show you how you're supposed to be. So I'll be being honest with myself, because I'm not going to deceive me no more. But I can't change nobody. If I could change somebody, I would have been stopped using. Because I would have changed me first. You know, so it's hard because the way I am, I'm really a giver. I give anything I can to help anybody. But if you cross me that after that, that's it. I got a part of me. It's like you talking about that other side of you. I got a side of me that people don't like. I mean, it's a side that, you know, after I look at him, after I calm down, somebody tell me how I looked and what happened. I really don't like that little guy there, but he's terrible. That's that little fella. That's that little fella, you know, that I got to deal with. I deal with him. He growing up, though. He growing up, you know, and dealing with him is challenging because he won his way all the time. You know, and I'm learning now to express the love I have for people in the rooms, you know, and I've been getting a lot of help from a lot of good people, you know, because I can't recover by myself, and I really think I really would like to, because a lot of time I don't like being around addicts. I know. I mean, I'll be lying if I say I love y'all, I like being around y'all every day. I don't. But every time something happens, who I come to? You know, and that's why generally I love y'all, you know, because I can't do it by myself. Now, I wish I could, but I can't. You know, God has placed a lot of humility in my life to get me away from being so self-reliant, because for so long, you know, I moved out on my own when I got out of high school, and I've been taking care of myself ever since. I've always been responsible, you know, and take care of my bills. I never was one that let things just go. So therefore, I always was that independent guy that didn't need nobody. But with these mental and emotional things I need help with, I need people, and God use people. You know, I don't know why I'm up here shaking like I got DTs. But I'm trying, you know, and it's funny. Last year, that was my first convention. I've been clean for 10 years. Last year was my first time ever coming to a convention. I was working at night, and I always had excuses. I don't want to go around all them addicts and all that. And last year I went, came here, and I said, man, I would really love to speak at one of them conventions. And look what God has done. Somebody called me and asked me to do this, and it was like, I was going to back out. Because I really, you know, the storm I was in wanted me to back out. But I'd had a ball since I've been here. You know, and I really, really am grateful that I have people in my life, because I got a lot of brothers and sisters, and they really can't relate to me when I'm going through something. I can't go talk to my brother about me being hurt, or I don't like so-and-so, I don't like what they share, and so, man, because he's got Lord mentality. Man, killing, you know, and I can't, you know, I can't go. Cause see, I like the lifestyle. Cause I found myself. If I talk to my brother long enough, his story gonna start sounding better than mine. And I'm gonna eventually be doing what he do. You know, so in order for me to stay on this path, I come around y'all even when I don't want to. Because it ain't y'all. I remember I said everything starts with me. It's me. You know. I've been trying to do things to lift my self-esteem up, you know, because you think you're somewhere at a certain level, and you're really not. And that type of humility and having to be humble and ask God to do these things for me, because nothing outside of me can do this for me. No woman, no car, no clothes, no jewelry. All the things that I thought made myself feel good don't do the trick. I don't know. I was hoping that they would say, he showed me the car, I said, my time run out, but I got some time here, don't I? So I guess I, you know, this is the first time. If some people in here know me, they know that I can talk. But for some reason, I'm if I start rambling, y'all know how it is. I'm gonna start. You know the one day ding battle. I used to tell. I remember they used to say that all the time. Rambling one day ding battle. And I just pray right now that I don't go back to that. but you know, I don't know. I'm really enjoying myself down here. You know, recovery has been real great to me. You know, honestly, it's a lot of work. And one thing I do want to stress is step work. I did step work early because at 9 months I wanted to go back and use some dope. Body Shannon, I never knew the person, and I want to lead a meeting. I didn't like this person. And I asked my sponsor, I said, I need to find out what's making me tick. He let me do a full step when I had 9 months clean. It wasn't thorough as my next one, but I was able to find out some things about myself. I don't believe that I need to run from me, because ain't nothing nobody in this room can tell me about myself negative that I don't already know. So I was able to do that and wasn't fearful of finding out who I was. And it has helped me to continually grow at an enormous pace because I'm willing to do the necessary work. And I know exactly why I do everything now. I no longer can rationalize and justify anything. If I say something and hurt your feelings, then I know exactly why I did it, and it has starts what's inside of me. What feeling I obtained from whatever happened in a situation. It's good to know, because I ran around a lot of times and didn't know why I was acting out. And that's the freedom of step work. That before the day's end, I don't hurt nobody's feelings. I can do a 10th step in it any time I want to and correct the problem. Anytime I need something revealed to me, I can go to the 11th step, but I can sort through prayer and meditation and ask God to give me an answer to something when I don't want to go to people and ask them all the time. You know, because I know today that the freedom from myself and what's helped me to grow is step work. I myself believe that it's not a time frame when you do it. I just believe if we all did it, we could get along better. We could love each other better. We wouldn't treat each other bad. We wouldn't crack on somebody's wife and you know she married. I mean, these things bother me, you know, when I was younger in recovery, then I ain't, you know, she hollering me, I'm hollering her. But through growing up and becoming responsible for my actions, I really respect people. I respect, you know, what's going on. I mean, I do. I have compassion. I have sympathy for people. And these things I didn't have at first. And, you know, they might have been in me, but I wouldn't exercise none of them. And doing step work has actually helped me do this. You know, my respect for women has changed. You know, I used to be always in a woman's face. I'm not like that no more. You know, I don't flirt. You know, I might look at you, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy. And it's just that, you know, the respect I have for myself, it took a long time to get to this place. And I got a long way to go, because there's a lot of things I want to change. And some things I'm still recovering from. You know, I think about my kids. You know, that's something that I think I'm a void right now because it's a real painful situation for me. I only like talking about it with my fiance because she tells me the truth about some things, and I'm in denial about it. And I got two great kids. I got a handsome son and a beautiful daughter. Mm. And that's what I'm talking about by coming in here doing things wrong. I picked the wrong women to have them by. And that's the most painful thing I'm dealing with today. You know, I call my daughter's mother and say, can I get her? I don't think so. I don't have time to run back and down and forth down the court. That's what I tell myself. But I know God can work some things out. And I believe I'm going to get my daughter. When I go and fight this, he's going to fight this battle for me. But when I go, I believe I'm going to get my daughter because she belongs with me. You know, and I believe that God, you know, just because you had a baby, I don't mean you the best parent for the kid. You know, and I myself don't want to feel guilty, and I think I deal with being sympathizing for her since saying, suppose I do win, and I take my daughter away from her. What am I going to do to my daughter? How she's going to heal and get used to being with me when she, you know, that's the stuff I wrestle with, man, because it's like now I don't see him on a regular basis. My son lives way out in Centerville, Maryland. Centerville, Virginia, and I live all the way in Suitland, Maryland. And my rationality is, man, he lived too far to be driving every weekend to get him when his mother supposed to bring him to me. Wish she do, because that's what's on the papers, the court system. And I mean, he's a total athlete like I was. I played all sports. This boy plays football. Don't come out the game. He played quarterback, running back, cornerback, kick return. He ain't but 9 years old. They just won 9 games straight playing basketball championship. I mean, he's straight A number, good grades in school. And you know, my kids love me to death. And I haven't even been spending time with them like I should. And a lot of times I block it out by doing other things because it hurt that I really ain't spending time with my kids like I did when they was first, because both of them was born. I was there when they came out. I was beside the nurse to grab them. I was the second one to hug both of my kids. And I was there from the time all of them. I watched them crawl, walk, talk. It just didn't work out. And it bothers me a lot, and I don't talk about it because it's something that sometimes I cry about, because out of all my 5 brothers, my father and mother still together, they always praised me about only one that ever been a father to their kids. And I know that's the result of me being clean. And
it's okay. All right.
This is when I'm supposed to come out. See, when you ask him to speak through you, he going to let come out what's supposed to come out. I'm very grateful, though, that I have somewhere I can come and talk to. You know, y'all understand. Y'all been there. Y'all been through it. And y'all going to help me go through it. And I only recover according to what I put into this thing and how I let y'all guide me. I'm blessed. I really am. Last couple of years have been real rough on me. But I tell you, this last year or so have been real good to me. It really has, in spite of the things I go through emotional and mentally. But I've got a spiritual foundation. I stay spiritually grounded, and that's how I make it through a lot of times. I don't rely on people all the time because I know just like I let you down, you'll let me down sometime. Not that you might mean to, but every time one door closed, he opened another. Every time you're not home, he always home. Every time I cry, he comforts me. That's where my trust lies. That's where my strength is. Because a lot of times I want to run. I run back around. My brother and them still sell drugs. I run. I like to run. I run around there or run anywhere instead of feeling. You know, like I said, I don't like to feel pain. But you're going to go through something and feel something if you're living sober. And I understand that's the only way I'm going to grow is to go through, not around, not under. Well, don't try to go over top of it. If as long as I stay on course and go through it, I'm going to be all right. He told me 5 minutes left, that's a sign of relief. And I don't know. I'm right now, really, I'm going to enjoy this rest this weekend. And I'm going to have a ball. And I really am grateful for being here and allowed to share my experience, strength, and hope with you people. Because I know that I can't take credit for these years of being clean. That is because God led me to you people. And you people guided me up the steps to recover. And I just want to say thank you and thank this committee for asking me to share. And I turn it back over.
I'd like to thank Lynn and Rick for a real good meeting.